Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you show forth your almighty power, chiefly by reaching out to us in mercy. Grant us the fullness of your grace. Strengthen our trust in your promises, and bring all the world to share in the treasures that come through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Amen.
You may be seated. Kim, lead out. Let the Bible go out first.
A reading from 1 Kings. The word of the Lord came to Elijah, saying, "Go now to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and live there, for I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he set out and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the town, a widow was there, gathering sticks. He called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel, so that I may drink." As she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar, and a little oil in a jug. I am now gathering a couple of sticks so that I may go home and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterwards, make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be emptied, and the jug of oil will not fail, until the day of the Lord sends rain on the earth." So she went and did as Elijah said, so that she, as well as he and her household, ate for many days. The jar of meal was not emptied, neither did the jug of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 146 responsively. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, O my soul.
Praise.
Put not your trust in rulers, in mortals in whom there is no help. When they breathe their last, they return to earth, and in that day their thoughts perish. Happy are they who have the Lord, have the God of Jacob for their help, whose hope is in the Lord their God,
who made
heaven and who gives justice to those who are oppressed, and food to those who are hungry. The Lord sets the captive free.
The Lord opens the eyes of the blind.
The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord cares for the stranger. The Lord sustains the orphan and widow, but frustrates the way of the wicked.
The Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion.
A reading from Hebrews. Christ did not enter a sanctuary made by human hands, a mere copy of the true one, but he entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself again and again, as the high priest enters the holy place year after year, with blood that is not his own. For then he would have had to suffer again and again since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the age to remove sin by sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for mortals to die once, and after that the judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory.
As Jesus taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation. He sat down opposite the treasury and watched how the crowd was putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." The Gospel of the Lord. The Native American people have a tradition, a custom, called a giveaway. It's a beautiful practice, and it happens at honor dances that are held for special occasions like a wedding or an anniversary, or most especially on the first anniversary of a person's death. Most of the tribes across North America have some sort of giveaway custom that is deeply rooted in their culture. In South Dakota, I had a number of opportunities to attend a powwow where the honor dance and a giveaway was held. I have a beautiful star quilt on my bed in the guest room that was given to honor at an honor for Cletus St. Ange, a Métis Indian from North Dakota, on the anniversary of his, the first anniversary of his death in North Dakota. And my husband and I were invited to this powwow. Don had presided at that funeral and received this beautiful star quilt. When an honor dance is given for a person, it is that person who gives, or that family who gives the gifts. It's all the gifts are given to the guests who come. Just kind of the opposite of what happens in most other cultures, where the honored person receives the gifts. You go to a wedding and bring a gift to give to the wedding couple. At a giveaway, it's just the opposite. The wedding couple would give a gift to everyone. And it's not just a few gifts. The family gives away, I'm talking about especially at the anniversary of a death, the family gives away everything. This tradition is about sharing what one has. But no one is left abandoned or without the things that they need, like food and shelter and friendship. When the Native Americans share everything that they have, then honor and abundance is provided for all. By the time the family gets home from the powwow, there are bags of food on their kitchen table. The freezer is filled with meat. The shelves in the linen closet are again stocked with blankets and household goods that they have given away. There's never a need. You've heard the term maybe Indian giver? You ever heard that phrase? We weren't allowed to say that when I was growing up. But this is a term that non-Indians, that non-natives use because they misunderstood this tradition of giveaways. It's considered perfectly fine to receive a gift back. In fact, it's even fine to receive back the very gift that's given. And it's actually a sign of disrespect to keep a gift that you would not use, or to keep a gift that you don't need. If you have 3 blankets on your shelf, it would be disrespectful for you to keep a blanket that you don't need. I guess today we call that re-gifting. This very But the people who misunderstood it said, you give a gift to an Indian and they take it back. So they called it Indian giver as a derogatory. Actually, it's a very much of a compliment. The valuable things that people are given in this culture that are saved in order to give away. The concept of hoarding or even storing up is not understood in the Native American culture. There's a high value on giving away, a high value on sharing. And once that gift is given, all strings are broken. The gift is given with no expectation, with no expectation. But there is that understanding that what is given, if a gift is given, that a good, some good thing will be returned to you, honor or respect. A person is valued in the community not by how much stuff they have, but by how much stuff they've given away. It's not about owning, it's about sharing. The Europeans who went to Christianize the Native Americans tried to stomp out this practice of giveaways. They said it just didn't make sense that a family would give away everything and then have to rely on the kindness of others to take care of their basic needs. They just didn't understand how this could work. And I think I'm not the only one here in saying that I don't understand it either. I don't understand that kind of sacrificial giving, to give away every single thing that you need. Truthfully, we don't want to give away everything that we have. We can't all be like that poor widow who gave away her last bit of cash, who had nothing left on her debit card. She held nothing back. We can say that she was all in, 100%. Over the past few weeks, we've been reading stories from Matthew's gospel about varying levels of commitment or lack of commitment. In response to Jesus and his ministry, some people were all in. Some people were all out, and some others, like me, and maybe like you too, were almost all in. In Mark 10, Jesus invites the rich young man to be released from his many possessions, to be freed to follow Jesus. But that man went away grieving because he had many possessions. He was all out. Also in that same chapter, we hear the story about James and John, these brothers who followed Jesus, who wanted to get the big promotion. They think they had what it takes to be Jesus' right-hand and left-hand men. They were almost all in, if they could get what they want. And then we hear this story in the same chapter, the story of this woman, this poor widow, who is definitely all in. I think if it was me standing there with 2 cents at the treasury box, I would have put in 1 penny. You know, keep 1 for my basic needs and 1 to the church. I mean, 50% tithe, that's pretty good, isn't it? Well, that was not enough for this poor widow. She gave 100%. She's all in. Jesus was watching how people were putting their money into the treasury. The rich people put in some large sums, and that didn't get Jesus' attention. He was moved by the woman who gave it all. The others had given out of their abundance. They took care of themselves first, and then what they had left over, they gave to the church, gave to the synagogue. They gave their extras. They're leftover. But this poor woman gave everything. This was Jesus' last time in the temple. In just a few days, 4 days from this event, he would give everything. Jesus was all in. He gave everything, his life, on the cross for us. And because of that, we are free to give everything too. It's easy to give in to our insecurity or the cultural message about scarcity, about the wisdom of taking care of ourselves first. It's easy to give in to the culture to calculate our worth by counting our possessions. It is just 6 weeks till Christmas. It's easy to give in to the culture to calculate how good a Christmas we had by how big a stack of gifts we have. I guess that goes away when you're 10, doesn't it? Actually, it doesn't. We calculate our gifts, I mean our worth, our good, did you have a good Christmas? Usually means, did you get what you want? Did you get some gifts? But maybe if we remember our Christian roots, and remember that we are called to be stewards, stewards of one another, each member committed to the welfare and the well-being of the rest of the community, maybe we can experience again God's blessing of us in and through our family of faith, in and through the giving. We are free to be all in because we are baptized into this family of God, and we have the gift of community and fellowship where we have given in our households, in our communities, in our congregations. We are here for each other, created and blessed with many abilities and assets and drawn together to care for each other and to care for the world. In the most important giveaway of all time, Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, the one worthy of praise, worthy of honor, this Jesus gives everything to us. On the cross and in the meal from this altar and from tables all over the world, we remember this giveaway that Jesus has called us to receive the gift and then to give that gift, to be a re-gifter of the gifts that Jesus gives to us. Thank you, Jesus, for being all in for us. Amen.